This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired Brigadier General Mark Kimmett. He's former Assistant Secretary of State for Political and Military Affairs. You may know him as the Deputy Director of Operations and Chief Military Spokesman for Coalition Forces in Iraq back in 2003 and 2004. He was also Deputy Director of Strategy and Plans at United States Central Command from 04 to 06. We want to get his thoughts today on news that President Obama has rejected all four proposals for a new strategy in Afghanistan. And General, thanks so much for your time today.
How are you?
Doing well. What do you make of this? Does this come as a surprise that the president would ask his national security team to go back to the drawing board? How does the military community react to a decision like that?
Well, I think personally, I think it's the right decision. If the president can't get behind the plan, or can't believe in the plan, then I think it's appropriate for him to ask the military commanders to come back and think more creatively about it. And that's what they're doing.
And in terms of the timetable of this, there's been so much talk about the time needed to implement whatever plan is put into place, the time that General McChrystal has mentioned is needed to turn this around. He says about a year to really turn this around in Afghanistan. How concerned are you about the time that this is taking now, almost 3 months?
That's about the same amount of time that was needed when we did the Iraq strategy review in late 2006 and early 2007. And I think we saw the results of how well that turned out. And I would hope that if the government gets behind a good, solid plan, that we could have the same outcomes in Afghanistan.
What do you suspect is the holdup here? Most of the plans called for troop buildups as requested by General McChrystal. Is there any insight that you have on what the president's looking for that wasn't in any of these plans?
Oh, I think my insights are about the same as everyone else's that have access to open source information. This can't just be simply about troops. It's got to be more. There's got to be not only a troop surge, there has to be a civilian surge. There has to be assistance with governance. There has to be assistance with their economy. To my mind, that's not what really concerns me about where we are in the state of the debate. The debate is going on well. My major concern is how it's being perceived around the world.
Explain why. Who's perceiving it and how are they perceiving it?
Well, part of the problem is that this debate is being interpreted by our enemies as a lack of willingness to stay the course and to take the time necessary to complete the mission. There is an issue of strategic patience here, and I think our adversaries recognize it, and I think they're exploiting it.
We're talking with retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Mark Kimmett. And General Kimmett, we know that one reason that might be weighing on the president's mind here is that his ambassador to Afghanistan, Carl Eikenberry, has basically decided that the best policy is to send no additional forces, which is clearly a contrary to the commanding general there, General McChrystal. What do you make of that impasse on that issue? And you mentioned there's more to it than just troop numbers, but it would seem like there would be pretty critical strategy disagreements there as well.
Well, since what was leaked was a classified document, I'd rather not comment on the cable that Carl Eikenberry sent. The fact is, though, that General Eikenberry, the ambassador over there, basically founded the Afghan National Military and also commanded troops over there. So I think once we're able to fully understand what Eikenberry has said, I think we can weigh it against everything else. But it's probably healthy that opposing views are being thrown into the mix, simply because what we don't want to do is have this plan rubber-stamped by a bunch of nodding heads. Hopefully, vigorous debate and views will be expressed, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is, once the plan is announced, that the administration gets behind it, supports it, and makes it very clear to our adversaries that we're there to win, and we're not going to tie it up with a bunch of conditionals and benchmarks and metrics that demonstrate we're really not willing to win, but we're willing to just give it a try and nothing more.
General, you mentioned that you were part of the planning process for the surge and counterinsurgency strategy inside Iraq. Obviously, the details and circumstances are different in Afghanistan, but talk about the important components that went into a successful strategy revision.
Well, the first was, in my mind, exactly that point I'm making. It was clear that President Bush was looking for a strategy to win. So throughout this entire surge debate, of which I was a minor participant, there was absolute clarity that the president had made a decision, which is, we want to be successful in Iraq, and tell me how we're going to be successful in Iraq. And I think that pervaded the entire discussion. Then, once you realized you had the president behind you, then you could get to the hard parts of making sure you had the proper mix between civilians, between resources, and between troops. in many ways, we should be having that same mix of ingredients in this debate. But I just don't get the same sensing that this administration is as dedicated to winning in Afghanistan as the Bush administration was to winning in Iraq. And I find that quite interesting because the president himself has said this is a war of necessity, this is the essential war. So I think the administration needs to get behind this effort and come up with a solution that is going to take care of the efforts on the ground and make sure that the efforts of our troops and our civilians over there isn't wasted.
Do you sense that the administration has articulated any sort of tangible goal on this strategy revision, or are they basically leaving it up to the military leaders and others who are offering these different plans?
I'm going to hold that judgment until I hear the speech that the president will inevitably make when he's reached a final decision. I think that is going to be one of the most important speeches for this president, and it's going to be very telling whether his heart is really in to this effort in Afghanistan, if he accepts it as the essential war that he said it was during the campaign, and if he's willing to resource it in a manner that can achieve success over there.
We're talking with retired Brigadier General Mark Kimmitton. General, a moment ago you were talking about how our enemies are perceiving this. How does that manifest itself into their actual activities, their planning, their tactics? If they see that we're taking a little bit longer and not quite sure exactly what the strategy ought to be, how does that specifically translate into what they want to do next?
It's simple. If the enemy perceives that our major weakness is in our will, they will take advantage of that. There is more than enough capacity. We have enough troops, we have enough resources, we have enough civilians, we have enough money that if we want to win in Afghanistan, we can. The enemy knows that. So what he's trying to do is affect that underlying popular support and strategic patience of the United States. If you listen to what Mullah Omar said in his Eid speech and what Osama said on his 9/11 speech, both of them said, we're going to wear out the Americans the way we wore out the British and we wore out the Russians. It wasn't by wearing them out physically, it was wearing out that popular support for this effort. And I think that that is why they will manifest it by just dragging this along as long as they can until they believe we will get tired and walk away.
General, fascinating to watch. Thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you.
Retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Mark Kimmitton. He was Deputy Director of Strategy and Plans at U.S. Central Command from 2004 to 2006, Chief Military Spokesman for Coalition Forces in Iraq 2003 to 2004. He also served as Assistant Secretary of State for Political and Military Affairs. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.